Let's take a look at Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. David was the king. David was a man after God's own heart. Was he a sinner? Yes. Did he act like a fool at times? Yes. Did he always make right choices and wise decisions? No. But he was king. And he was king because God made him king. And there's not much you can do about that. If God hasn't made you king or queen, well, you can go out and try to be it, but it just won't work. And you can blame it on whatever you like. It just won't happen. God is good. God knows what he's doing, and he's big. And he can handle even us. And David, when he heard that Absalom, his son, when he heard that Absalom was coming after him and going to take his throne by force, and that Israel had sided with his son, David did something that nobody expected him to do. You remember? He grabbed a few things, put them in a bag, hopped on a donkey, and rode away. And people even ask him, what are you doing? You're king. What are you doing? You're leaving. Your son's coming to fight. Aren't you going to fight him? And David said, there is no way I would fight my own son. This throne belongs to God. We'll just let God put whoever he wants on it. I am certainly not going to fight against my own son for it. Let him have it. And David got on a donkey and rode out of town. And people laughed at him. And one guy called him names and mocked him and spit at him. And some of David's mighty men, his warriors, went with him. And as the man was spitting at him and calling him names and cursing at him, one of the mighty men that got to him. He got angry. He said, David, let me go up there and cut this guy's head off. And David said, leave him alone. God is letting him do that. Let's just leave him alone and let him spit and let him curse and let him yell. We just leave it all to God. What an attitude. What an amazing man David was. And now, this psalm tells us what was in David's heart. When we saw him leaving town, if you want to look at 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18, you'll kind of see the story. You watch him leave town and it looks like he's lost. He's the king, but his son and the armies of Israel have turned against him and they're coming against him and they're going to take the throne by force. David just hops on a donkey and says, let him have it. It belongs to God. God's going to deal with this. God will put whoever he wants on it. We're out of here. I'm not fighting my own family for this. And he's gone. People called him a coward. People said he was doing the wrong thing. People said, you need to pray about this. Fast, David. You need to. No, we're leaving. And there he was going out to hide in the wilderness as he had hidden from King Saul for 10 years. Now, David was experienced at running and hiding from enemies. And when we watch him leave, we think, my goodness, what's he thinking? What's he feeling? What's going on in his heart? Psalm 3 begins this way. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Absalom was his son. David sinned before the Lord, with Bathsheba, and they had a baby, and you probably know that whole story. We don't have time to do that whole thing. But because of it, he was forgiven. He confessed, and he repented, and he was forgiven. But the consequences remained the rest of his life. One of the consequences, God said, was that his family would be an absolute wrecked up mess forever. And the sword would never leave David's house. And David could have walked out of it going, thanks for forgiving me. Gee. No, he was forgiven. But he never, ever was able to get away from what he did. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Quite a few of us understand that. And we keep going, I thought God forgave me. He did. Well, Absalom, He was very handsome. And a gifted politician. In other words, everybody liked this guy. Now, when you're David, you're the king, you have to make decisions. And decisions like, all right, cut that guy's head off. He's guilty. Take what he owns and give it to the poor. He's guilty. You know, and so pretty soon, even though he was just, and even though he was a man after God's own heart, people started to dislike him a little bit. Well, that David, he gets on my nerves. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his personality. You know, the guy's a wimp. And how come every time I try to see him, he's busy? Absalom, the handsome dude, who's a politician, he was able to win the affection of the people. He won their hearts. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, the last part of that scripture says, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. He won their hearts. He got them. I see it today. I see it around ministry. I've seen it in this one. I see it. There is nothing you can do about it. It's just gonna happen. You have to let people go through it. You can't stop them. They loved Absalom. He won their hearts. Absalom was not only handsome and a politician, but he was a schemer. He was a lazy bum. He was a liar. And he was a thief. Not necessarily in that order. But the people really loved him. And so when his true colors came out, everybody just says, oh, Absalom's a nice guy, so it's got to be right. Oh, man, we are so easily fooled. They said, he's a nice guy. He really loves the people. David, he doesn't love the people. Listen, David was a shepherd. And he was a shepherd boy. He knew how to take care of the sheep. He knew. But yet the people would say, that David, I try to talk to him and he's got a lousy attitude. I try to get to him and he's just too busy. I like Absalom. But Absalom, you know, you kind of look at Absalom as one of David's helpers. I hesitate to use the word assistant because I don't want to offend anybody in the room. He cares more than King David does. So what happened was the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. They turned against the king. And the king in his heart cries out and says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. What David is saying, if you want to know what's coming from his heart, he is saying this. It seems, Lord, that the whole world is turned against me. I'm trying to do what's best and what's glorifying to you. I'm trying to be the best king I can be. And Absalom comes along. He cheats. He steals. He finagles. And the people are following him. And the whole world is turned against me. He felt that they had forsaken him. And look what the people were saying. And he says, and this is what they are saying. See, even God is against him. If God were with him, he wouldn't have to run away like that. He would have never had to get on that donkey and run. He would have stood and he would have fought. But God's not with him. God will not help that king. Boy, I'm glad we're following Absalom because the Lord's not helping David. David says, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. See, the people were following a manipulator. And so the people watched David run and said, God's not with him. God won't help him. And then the word Selah, first time we've seen it in the Psalms, S-E-L-A-H. In our language, it means pause and calmly think. So that's what you do. Many there be which say of my soul, King says, there is no help for him in God. Pause and calmly think about that. Pause and calmly think about Jesus when he was on the cross and the many that said to him, hey, where's your God now? Where's your help now? I thought you were the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, come on down there. Your father will help you. There's no help for you in the Lord. You're a loser. Many there be that say there's no help of him or for him in the Lord. Pause and think about that. Verse 3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. Now he is running away from Absalom. He's going to be gone for a while. But what does he say as he's running in his heart? He says, Lord, they've gathered against me. You know what they're saying? They're saying that you won't help me. They're saying that I'm running because I'm wrong and Absalom's right. And that they're saying that you don't care anymore. How many times have you yourself even felt that way? It's all broken down. It's all gone. It's all falling apart. And people are going, look at the guy. He's a loser. Look at her. Look how it went for her. And you see, I knew she wasn't with the Lord. And you're crying out saying, help, Lord. David remembers what God is really like, doesn't he? Here in verse 3. He recognized that God is the true source of his protection. God is the true source of my protection. He says, he is my shield. That's what you use in battle to defend yourself from attacks, from blows, from arrows. You have that shield. Don't you remember reading in the New Testament that we have the shield of faith? Faith is, that's our shield. Faith in what? Faith in our ability? Faith in what? Faith in the living God. There's the shield. And he says, you are my shield. So he remembers what God is like. In the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the turmoil in his own heart, he remembers what God is like. Write that down. Mark it down. In the midst of troubles, while he's running, he says, but you, O Lord, are my shield. You are my glory. God is going to make a difference. God's going to, and you are the lifter up of my head. In our language, that simply means that you are the one that will put me back to my rightful place. I don't have to go fight for that throne. If you want me on it, you are the lifter up of my head. You will take me and place me back on that throne. You are the God. You are my shield. Everything in your life right now, David is telling us, in my heart, I know God's going to handle it. I know God is good. I know that God is my protector. God is my glory. He's the one I am in. He's my shield. He's the one that will place me in the position that I belong in. Oh, how many times have you tried to fight to get the position you think was yours? And it didn't work. And you got laughed and maybe even run out of town. People looked at you and laughed and said, you? Because probably you were trying to do it yourself. David says, I'm out of here. Thou, O Lord, art a shield, my glory. You are the one that will place me in the position where I belong. I'm called to be king by you. You will place me in that position. Didn't Jesus have the same heart? Do this. When he was going to the cross, he said, I don't have to do this, but this is what my Father wants. This will bring him glory. If I chose not to do it right now, I could speak and there would be over 12,000 angels here instantly. But I'm not going to do that. Because the Lord is my shield. He's my defense. He's my protector. He's my glory. He is the lifter up of my head. He will place me in the position that I belong. And where did Jesus get placed? You are my son. This day have I begotten thee. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus could have said, I'm not going to the cross. I'm the king. Are you kidding? I'm the king. No, Jesus went ahead. So I'm going to do what my Father says. We see a type right there, way back in Psalm 3, when David says, I'm just going to do what my Father says. You're my shield. You're my glory. You're the lifter up of my head. You're the one that will place me. Hey, let God place you. Don't try to place yourself. Let God place you. Verse 4 says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Again, the word Selah, what does it mean? Pause, stop, and calmly think about it. I cried to who? To the Lord. Not to everybody around. I didn't cry and call back to down to Texas and ask them to help me. I didn't call three of my friends who I thought had the power to get me out of this jam. Who did I call? I cried to the Lord with my voice. And he heard me, where? From his holy hill. God listened to David. So, there's a lesson in there for me and you. So we say, "La, pause and calmly think about that a second. God hears. I laid me down and slept, and I awakened, or awaked, as King James says, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." Those three verses. I prayed, and the Lord heard my prayer. Have you tried that lately? In the middle of all your troubles? Instead of trying to fight and to get what is rightfully yours and to stand against all these foes and to work it out yourself, have you just cried out to God? He says, I prayed and the Lord heard me. I laid down to sleep and I woke up the next day. Meaning, God protected me through the night. Hey, what do you mean? Well, go back to the beginning of this psalm. What is he doing? He is running from his son and all the armies of Israel. Those are big armies, and they're after him and a few guys. Those armies could have crushed him. And while he's running, sooner or later, you have to stop and go to sleep. He said, we stopped. I laid down at night. I slept. When I got up in the morning, I got up. I was still alive. I hadn't been eaten alive by my son. The armies weren't there. God protected us through the night. Did you know that the reason that you're able to be here today is God protected you through the night last night? I don't know if you thanked him. I don't even know if you thought about it. Maybe you were just sorry you had to get up. Oh my goodness, it's noon. I got to get up now. Wait a minute. Thank you, Lord, because you kept me through the night, whatever time I got to get up. God did that for you. He's my glory. He's my shield. He's the lifter of my head. He's the one that is doing all this. It is not you. It's not your fruit juices. It is not your amazing exercise program. It's nothing of the sort. It is God. And David says, I laid down and slept, and I got back up. Isn't that what he says? So he says, you know, I learned from that. He says this, because of God's help and God's presence, I will not be afraid even though I'm surrounded by 10,000s of people. Now, Absalom's after me and all the armies, and they're big. But you know what? God is going to protect the presence of the Lord. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves around against me round about. In other words, in our language, even though the whole world is against me, I will not be afraid. That means David put his complete trust in the living, almighty God. What about you? If God could do it for David, can he do it for you? Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For you have smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. That really hurts when you get hit in the jaw, doesn't it? You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. I guess that hurts too. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Pause and calmly think. God will fight your battles for you. Do you belong to Him? David proclaims this, God will destroy His enemies. You want to make sure that your enemies are God's enemies. How do you do that? You get on God's team. First, you must be born again. Walking with the Lord. Listening to the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Doing the things that bring the Lord honor and glory. And David says, God will destroy His enemies. Not mine, His enemies. God will win. God will fight the battle and God will win. You will never see, not ever in your entire life, neither will you see through Scripture, God ever lose a battle. He never loses a battle. His people do sometimes because of disobedience, because of a lack of faith, but you never see Him lose. He just doesn't lose. You know, you want to be on the right team. God is the winning team. No matter what you're hearing on the news, you want to stay on the A team. The team of the Lord. We see this. The Lord is the author of salvation. Salvation is the Lord's. That's what we just read. Verses 7 and 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And those that are His people are happy, blessed people. We're learning. Psalm 3 teaches us a lot of things. Among those is this. Put your trust in the Lord. Place your trust in the Lord. In all things. All. And that means in the Hebrew, all. See how easy this is? All things. No matter how difficult they may seem, no matter how impossible they may look, when you rest in God, He always comes through. Have you tried it yet? He will not let you down. I know you're afraid to try. Because you think that you've been doing this the whole time. I remember being little. And my dad is teaching us to swim. And you know, you're a little bitty thing. So he has his hand out flat. And his hands were huge. And I'm laying on his hand with my belly. And I'm kicking and moving my arms. And I'm going through the water. And I'd yell at my mom, I'm swimming! I was. As long as he kept his hand there. Every once in a while he'd move it. And I go, oh! Well, I was swimming. You see, it was not me swimming. It was my father who was just taking me through the water. But not me. I was saying, look at me, you guys, I'm swimming. I'm better than you. And then all my dad would have to do is let go. And then you'd sink and he'd bring you back up. You'd cough all that water up. And he was teaching you, you know, you're not swimming yet, but you can. You know, and some of you right now, God's holding you up and you think you're swimming. And you're getting into the deep water and you're getting a little bit of an attitude. Look at me, I'm swimming. God's going to go, whoo. Well, I hate it when He does that. You choke. And then you try to explain to everybody why you're choking. And you know, and you try to look cool. You ever try to look cool when you're like choking on water? It's my Father who holds me up. And He will not let you down. Trust in the Lord. But the thought continues on. David continues to call out to God. And he says in Psalm 4, he says, hear me when I call. You know, that is a request. So we can say it in American. Please listen to me when I call to you. O God of my righteousness, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. As he continues to be on the run, and he was on the run for quite a while, he says, I ask you, Lord, to listen to my prayer when I call. O God of my righteousness. You see, all of us that call ourselves Christians, you and me that are born again, we call Him the God of our righteousness. Why? Because our righteousness is of Him. Our righteousness is not of our own. It is of Him. Our righteousness is of Jesus Christ. He is the God of our righteousness. And so we cry out to the God of our righteousness. We're righteous in Jesus. We cry out to Him and we say, oh God, please listen to my prayer. because you have enlarged me when I was in distress. The word distress here means under pressure. You ever been under pressure? If you haven't, stick around. It'll happen. The pressures of life can be heavy pressures. They can, can't they? And they can come from unexpected sides, and all at once when you thought things were great, and man, you are under pressure. And you cry out to God and say, please, God of my righteousness, Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. And say, please, hear my call, hear my cry. You've enlarged me, you've strengthened me, you've built me up. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. What should you and I do when we're in distress? When we're under pressure, any kind of pressure, Bible says, call unto the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3. When I was young, they told me that was God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. It says, God speaking, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, things that you didn't know. That's God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call me and I will answer you. There's a promise you ought to claim. Call unto me, God says, and I will answer. What do we learn about faith in the New Testament? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We learn without faith it is impossible to please God. You got to have faith because first of all, you got to believe that God is, and that takes faith, and you have to believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. First, you have to believe that He is. And I know people, I have friends who say, I'm an atheist. I do not believe God is. Well, I'm telling you right now, they say, I don't believe there's a God. I can tell you what they don't do then. They do not cry out to Him. They don't cry out and say, when they get into a jam, they don't cry out to God and say, help me. Why? They don't even believe He is. But you do, don't you? So call to the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, please hear me when I call. Have mercy on me and listen to my prayer. Write down these scriptures. Psalm 145:18. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. We need to do it sincerely. Normally you find when you and I are in deep trouble, we're sincere. David is calling out sincerely here. He doesn't know if he's going to live. He says, hear my prayer. I call out to you in truth. Psalm 50:15. Psalm 50:15. Hard to say, huh? God says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. Isaiah 65:24. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass, I like this, that before they call, I will answer. Talking about those that belong to Him. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will be listening. As soon as you pray, just as you begin to speak, God says, I'm all ears. He already knows what you're going to ask before you ask. You say, then why ask? Because God said to. God said, ask me, call me, I'll answer. I'll hear from heaven and I'll answer. Do you believe God will answer you? You say, no, I mean, I kind of believe He'll hear. This is Christian, by the way. I kind of believe you'll hear, but I don't really, I'm not sure I'll answer. I'll read the Bible again. Read it real slow. Psalm 91:15. Speaking about the one who hides in Him. The one who abides in the Lord. God says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. I could give you verse after verse. Those verses should encourage you to do just like David. Call to God. He said, I'm all ears. I am listening. You speak. I'm there. And I'm hearing. And I will answer. And I've had people say, well, I prayed and I didn't get what I wanted. Oh, you, now the Bible doesn't say that. You know, no good father or mother is going to give you everything you ask for. Your son comes to you, he's 6 years old and says, Dad, can I have a shotgun? You say, no. I love you. Well, why? I thought you loved me. Why can't it? You're too young for that. How many times have you said, Lord, I want to do this. And God said, no. You don't love me. If you love me, you would let me. No. I do love you, Beanhead. And I know you can't do that. If you do that, we'll all, no. You got to begin to believe that God knows what he's doing. Start to believe that in your heart. That God knows, he understands what tomorrow is, and you don't. So you say, I need three of those. And God said, no, because I see what's coming tomorrow. I'm not going to give you three. If you had three of those tomorrow, and you'd have to pack up and go to Texas, you wouldn't be able to unload those. You'd be stuck with them. No, you're going to, oh, you don't love me. Well, God never answers my, wait a minute. God is good all the time. And we read this, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress, under pressure. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, now he turns to the people who don't want to listen to God. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? And then he says that word again, Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. Oh, you sons of men, those that don't belong to the Lord. How long will you turn my glory into shame? Let's say that in American. My son Absalom is lying about me. He just wants the throne. He's saying things that he shouldn't say. And he's telling you stories that you're believing. Oh, you sons of men, how long are you going to continue to believe those lies? Interesting thought. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How many times have you and I been guilty of believing something without checking out the source? Don't we see that on the internet almost daily now? You see all those emails come through that this is happening in Congress, and you send it to your email list of 300 people. Then you find out like an idiot, you should have checked because it's not really happening. And someone goes, oh, got you. And you just send that to all kinds of people. Now they're panicking and they're going to leave America because Congress is all turned, you know, whatever. Haven't seen that on the internet yet? You'll hear a story about how a lady led three people to the Lord on the way down, and the airplane was on its way down, and you say, wow, that's a guy. And you pass it around, you find out, no, she was still strapped in her seat screaming too, all the way down. They sound nice though, don't they? You ever check these things out? David says, you ought to check out. You ought to come to me and ask me. Absalom is lying to you and you're believing. How long are you going to believe lies? You see, they were trying to tarnish David's name and his reputation. That's what Absalom needed to do. That's how he got on the good side of everybody. David doesn't like you, but I do. David's not loving, but I am. David's not a real shepherd, but I am. And so everybody goes, Absalom is cool. And David said, how long are you going to believe these lies? Just the opposite is true. Absalom is a thief, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He says, how long are you going to turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Seek after leasing, that's interesting. He says, they're trying to ruin my reputation. and I can't believe that you're listening to this. Then you stop and he says, pause and calmly think. Go back and think about Jesus. Not just there while he walked on the streets of Jerusalem and Nazareth, but even today. Don't you see that people are trying to ruin his name and his reputation today? Don't you see that they're making movies about him saying that he was a homosexual or saying that he had a secret marriage with Mary Magdalene and they had a bunch of children and they're just trying to tarnish the name of Jesus. They say he was crazy. They say he went over and spent time in India and studied under the gurus and they're saying all sorts of bizarre things. What are they trying to do? What Jesus could say this verse out loud. Oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? You can't possibly believe that, he says. How long will you love vanity? It's a waste of time, the things you're doing. And seek after leasing. And he says, think about that. Notice we learned that they are believing what they want to believe. They are listening to what they want to hear. We are in the same boat today. And because of it, and the devil knows that, then the people of the last days will have itching ears, and they will heap up to themselves those teachers that tell them what they want to hear. They'll have Absaloms all over. I believe that there are Absaloms all over in the ministry. And so all of us in the ministry need to pray about it to make sure that that is not what we are. And everyone in the ministry has a responsibility to do that. And he goes on. But no, you guys need to know, he says, that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Of course, we talked about a bunch of scriptures already. God himself sets apart the godly. We call that word sanctify. Remember that word? To set apart. To be put in a place where God will use you. God, he says, sets apart the godly for his own glory and his own use, we learn here. And the Lord will hear when I call to him. You say, I don't know if I'm godly or not. Step number one is you must be born again. I must be born again. We must be born again. It needs to be something that is real in our lives. No games, no questions, no doubts, but a real, honest knowing. An assurance of our salvation. Which is why John says he wrote the book of 1 John. I write these things that you might know that you have eternal life. Read 1 John 5. That you might know. There's an assurance there. You are not going to share with others if you are worried all the time about you. If you don't know about you, you will not be living and you will not be sharing with others because you won't be sure about yourself. There will always be something that keeps you back, that makes you afraid. So he writes 1 John. And he says, the Lord will hear when I call to him. See, God sets the godly apart for his own glory and his own use. And God will listen. I read your scriptures to show you God will listen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I know that you probably thought of that. See, God will listen when I call. Those that belong to the Lord can enter into the very throne room of the living God. God will listen to you. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's for the godly. That's for those that are truly his. Then he says, the result of reading the first three verses should be this. Verse 4 says, stand in awe. And don't sin. After you've read through those things, well, especially through chapters 3 and 4, the conclusion, stand in awe. In our language, it means tremble before the Lord. Tremble before the Lord, he says, and don't sin. stay away from sin. Haven't we seen that a few times in the New Testament? Stay away from sin. And the works of the flesh are these, Paul says. Stay away from those. But the fruit of the Spirit is this, Paul says in Galatians. Walk this way. And in Ephesians, he says, here's how to walk. Read chapter 5. Here's the way for you and I to walk. Over and over, we're told, flee from sin. Stay away from it. Stand and on, sin not. Commune with your own heart on your bed. And be still. And then he says, Selah, which means pause and calmly think about this again. As you lay down, you're going to go to bed. Normally, that's sort of a quiet time till everybody starts snoring. So you might only have a few minutes. And an unwritten law of the universe is the one that snores falls asleep first. You know that. Think about it, he says, as you lay down in your own bed. Quietly think about all that you've heard. Quietly. Be still, he says. Psalm 46, verse 10, says, God speaking, be still and know that I am God. Now, we quote that, but you know there's more to it. Don't leave out the rest of it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and understand that I am in authority. I rule over all, and all will be under my power and rule. I'm God. You need to lay down tonight before you go to sleep and think about that, he says. That's what David tells us to do. It's what God tells us to do. Stand in awe, sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Think about it. Be still, Selah, calmly think about it when you lay down tonight. And offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Let me say that in English, in American, excuse me. Do the things that are right according to the Lord your God. Do those things in His strength, by His power. Do those things that are right in accordance with His will and word. And put your trust in Him. Yield yourself in faith to the Lord and to His will. Have you done that? Have you really recognized that He is God? You know, when we start thinking about who He is, we're amazed. He is God. At any moment, He could stop the earth from spinning. At any moment, He could take you and I home. At any moment. He doesn't need any permission. He is God. He doesn't need to make it an illness. Or anything. He could just take us right now. He could take you whenever He chooses, whenever it's scheduled, whenever He wants. If He says, Bob, you're coming home now, you go. You don't say, I'm not ready. I'm too healthy. I am not prepared. I better go get my thinking together. Oh, wait, I've got some people to apologize. No, it's it. He's God. You're not going to have time. None of us are going to have time to go back and try to quit being Absaloms. We're going to be caught in it one of these days. You'll see that in the book of Revelation. Let the thief keep stealing. Let the pervert keep perverting. And let the righteous continue to be righteous. You're going to go on, and it's going to happen that quickly. You're going to be finished. Some of you knew Pastor Romaine. He went to be with the Lord day before yesterday. And he was looking forward to it. And I got to thinking, we're all going to go. We are all going to go. I know that you think you're going to live forever. That probably means that you are under 45 years old. But you will not live forever, at least not in this physical body. you will live forever. Either in eternal suffering or being eternally with the Lord. Yes, you will live forever, but this physical body is going to stop. We know that. And what he says here is offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Do what is right. And put your trust in the Lord. Verse 6 says this. There are many that say, who will show us any good? It's a question. Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And so let's say that in our language, because I know many of you feel that way. Many say it this way. It's just no use. It's all bad. It's going to get worse and worse. A lot of the world is saying that right now. I've tried. I tried doing it God's way, and I've done this, and it's just no use. It doesn't work. It's not happening. All you're saying is, I'm not getting what I want. That's what they're saying right here. There be many that say, who will show us any good? What's the use? It's never going to get better. It's never going to, that's the Eeyore Christian today too, by the way. It's all bad. It's all going to get worse. There's no hope. It's all hopeless, and we're helpless. We're just waiting here for the spacemen to come and pick us up. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. That means sometimes you even feel there's no hope. It's useless. This thing's not going to make it. I'm not going to pull through. You stop and you say, we need the Lord to show us his ways. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Show us, Lord. Show us. Help us. We need to know your will, your wisdom, your plans for eternity. We need to know your word. Lift up your countenance. Show us, Lord, what you're thinking and how you're feeling and what you want done. That's what he's saying. In verse 7, he says, you have put gladness in my heart. You can underline that if you're a Bible underliner. Where did that gladness come from? Oh, he finally got his head on straight. No. He finally got that medication that straightened all those things in his body. No. He finally got that job he wanted. He finally got that throne. No, he's still out in hiding, running from his son. What does he say? God put it there. In your presence, Scripture says, in thy presence, speaking of the Lord, is fullness of joy. You be with the Lord, it doesn't matter whether you have to hide under rocks or whether you live in a big old house. In his presence, there's joy. And he says, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. David's heart, we know this from reading through 1 and 2 Samuel, also reading through the Psalms. David's heart failed him a lot of times. In times of trouble, David panicked. And I mean, he was just like you and I are. His heart failed him, and he thought, this is it. I'm not going to make it. Saul's going to kill me. I'm never going to live through this. Oh, Lord, I should have went left and I went right instead. And his heart failed him a lot of times. Just like our hearts do. But then, because he trusted in the Lord, God put a joy back into his heart, he says. Even more joy and gladness than in the time of the harvest celebration. He said, you've put such a joy in my heart, even though I'm running from my son. I'm happier than when we celebrate our harvest and ingathering. I'm just, in my heart, I'm thrilled, Lord. There's a joy there. Even more joy and gladness than in the harvest celebration. So he says, you know, because of that, I'm going to do two things. I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep. Two things. For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. Did you hear that? He says, God put the joy in my heart. What's that old song we sing? I got the wonderful love of my precious Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Try that. I got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Do you have that joy? You have that joy when you can say, God's got it. God's going to do it. God will handle it. God can do anything. I've been asked by other pastors, because we finished this facility, and those pastors are in the process of beginning, maybe building theirs there throughout the email world. And they say, do you ever worry about making the payments? Now that it's finished, you have to pay for it. I said, to tell you the truth, not yet. So far, I have not yet been concerned. And I hope it remains that way. And I know the only way that it can remain that way is to simply let God take care of it. Just let Him handle it. Have you placed every bit of what you are into His hands? The good and the bad and the ugly. Have you done it? Have you just said, I'm in your hands. Do something. He was in such peace in his heart, the Bible says he laid down in peace and he slept. Do you need sleeping pills to help you get down in your life? Do you need something to help you calm so you can sleep? Here is, I believe, God's sleeping pill for you. Psalm 4. The next time you feel like you can't sleep, it's only 8 verses long. Open it up and just read through it. And pause and calmly think about what it says. God's sleeping pill for you, Psalm 4. God takes care of everything. God will see to everything. Don't worry. Simply trust in the Lord with your whole heart. When you lay your head down on the pillow at night, can you rest? David, he was out there running from his own son because he was trying to avoid having to fight his son. Now, David could defeat his son in battle, and David knew it. I don't want to fight my own son. I don't want to come against the armies of the Lord. They are God's people. I don't want to fight them. And so I won't. I'll just go. And I will put my fate in His hands. And I will let Him fight the fight. And I will let Him do the job. And when you do that, I'm telling you right now, you'll go home, you'll lay down, put your head on the pillow, toss and turn for 2 or 3 seconds, and you'll be out. And you'll be snoring and people will be complaining. Because you will be at rest in your own heart. And when you're at rest in your own heart, you sleep. Isn't that what he says? I'll do 2 things. I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep. Why? For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. I just trust in the Lord. That's all. No matter how big our responsibilities are, no matter what kind of pressures of life come on us, we should be able at night, go home, lay our heads down, and be gone. At peace. You'll catch yourself sometimes not at peace. You'll lay down, and I've done this, and you'll lay there and you'll start, well, you know, I got to do this, and oh, so-and-so, they're mad at me, and all right, I better call, oh, wait a minute, I got to do this, oh, man. And then you'll lay there and 45 minutes have gone by, and then what do? You make yourself sleep. All right, you got to get some sleep, you're getting up early. You ever try that one? And that works well. Okay, I'm going to sleep now. Just quit talking to me. I'm not talking to you. You're talking to yourself. All right, I'm going to sleep. All right, just knock it off. You want to hear a joke? Oh, man. I start talking to myself. It's at that point, you know, I am not resting. I'm carrying something that I shouldn't be carrying. And so you start praying, Lord, what's up with me? Usually I put my head on the pillow and I'm gone. So this isn't right. Lord, what's up? And God will talk to you. And he says, pause and calmly think. You need some good sleep? Then give him what's stressing you. Your entire life. Everything that's going on around you, that's falling apart. You say, Lord, here it is. I place my trust in you. I cry out to you and ask that you hear me when I call, just as you promised. And that you answer. And I just want to do what's right. I just want to trust in you. You handle it, Lord. Let me know what you want, how you want to do it. And you, I think you'd be amazed. You'll be snoring soon, everybody will be complaining. You'll rest, you'll be at peace. That's what we're looking for. That's what the psalmist says. That's what both Psalm 3 and 4 are telling you. Trust in the Lord. Have you placed yourself in his hands? I know you've got troubles. I know you do because you're breathing. I know things aren't easy. I know because you're still sitting upright. And so as long as you're alive, you know that life is going to be happening to you. Somebody said one time that life is what happens while you're busy making plans. And isn't that the truth? It just keeps coming at, it just doesn't let up. But God said he'll take care of it. God said he'll handle it. God said he will hold it up. God said, you give this to me. I'm good at this. I know how to do this. Give it to him. Trust in the Lord. Then you can both lay down in peace and sleep also. And get up the next morning knowing God has done it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we pray. And as we read from your servant David, the Psalms that he wrote, we can relate. Sometimes it's like the whole world has come against us and is fighting us. David said, I will not be afraid of tens of thousands who have set themselves against me round about, because you are my glory, the lifter of my head. You're my shield. Lord, we belong to you in Jesus Christ. It's not by anything that we've done, but the work and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Your kindness, Lord, we belong to you. But there are times when we're not at peace. There are times when the stress and the distress seems to be overpowering us, Lord. Help us, as your word says, to do right, to do righteous, and to trust in you. With all our hearts, to rest in you, Lord. As we worship you, would you speak to our hearts, each one of us, Lord? You said, be still and know that I'm God. I'm going to take control. I'm going to handle every bit of everything. Lord, we know it's true. It's just that sometimes we get concerned and we forget. As we're still before you, as we worship, as you speak to our hearts, let us hear, Lord. Let your will be accomplished.